The Man Who Wasn't There is the new movie from Joel and Ethan Coen. Billy Bob Thornton stars along with Frances McDormand and two well-known TV actors, Michael Badalucco from The Practice and James Gandolfini from The Sopranos. John Powers has a review.
No filmmakers alive would seem to be more in love with film noir than Joel and Ethan Coen, who began their career with Blood Simple, a Texas update of James Caan, copied Dashiell Hammett in Miller's Crossing, and did a goofy riff on Raymond Chandler in The Big Lebowski. But while the Coens obviously adore film noir, they adore it like a husband who insists that his wife dress exactly the way he likes. They make everything fit their own sensibility, which is profoundly un-noirish. Cool, clever, totally under control. All those qualities are on display in The Man Who Wasn't There, a drifty new crime story set in a small California town in 1949. Billy Bob Thornton stars as the story's taciturn narrator, Ed Crane. Ed works unhappily as the second barber in a shop owned by his yakety brother-in-law, played by Michael Badalucco. Ed's unenthusiastically married to Doris, that's Frances McDormand, who he suspects is carrying on with her boss, Big Dave, who's played by James Gandolfini. In hopes of a new life, Ed decides to blackmail Big Dave for $10,000 and invest it in a dry cleaning operation run by a shifty, toupeed huckster. Naturally, his plans go awry, unleashing murder and suicide and legal insanity. Ed finds his only solace in a teenage girl, Bertie Abundis, who he overhears practicing Beethoven on the piano. Played by Scarlett Johansson, Bertie becomes a beacon of purity, a possible source of escape from the small-town hell that Ed at least partly created for himself. Here, he tells her about his plans for her music career.
There's this guy in San Francisco. I've made inquiries. Everybody says he's the best. Trained people who've gone on to big concert careers and symphony orchestras, the works. His name is Jacques Carcinogus. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, a Frenchman.
Oh, boy, a Frenchman, huh?
You've got talent. Anybody can see that. And he's the best. If he sees a student that he thinks has talent, he takes him on for next to nothing. So you're a cinch to be accepted. I could cover the cost of the lessons. Like I said, it's pretty modest.
Oh, geez, Mr. Crane.
No, I have to do it. I can't stand by and watch any more things go down the drain. You're young. You don't understand.
Well, geez, Mr. Crane, I hadn't really thought about a career or stuff.
Well, I know you haven't. Look, just go see him as a favor to me. I talked to this guy. He loosened up a little bit when I told him how talented you are. He's agreed to see you this Saturday. He said, maybe you're a diamond in the rough.
At first, The Man Who Wasn't There seems like a sly, beautifully made pastiche, shot in ravishing black and white by the great Roger Deakins. The Coens really know their Hollywood classics. There are allusions to, among other things, Hitchcock's Shadow of a Doubt and Billy Wilder's Double Indemnity. But they also know the rhythms of film noir, briskly setting up the pallid Ed as a kind of ghost in his own life, an ordinary man carried along to a destiny he doesn't want. And for one glorious stretch, between the first murder and Ed's master plan for Bertie, the movie promises to be the most resonant work the Coens have ever done. Although the story set more than 50 years ago, it captures a distinctively contemporary kind of melancholy, an odd, slightly glib passivity that made me think of the Japanese novelist Haruki Murakami. Like a Murakami hero, Ed is a born observer whose occasional bits of enterprise engender events far vaster than any he could anticipate. Yet just when you expect Ed's story to get really exciting and the emotions to deepen, the story gets Coenized. It loses its way in jokes and mere cleverness. The melancholy is devoured by the appearance of a comically vainglorious lawyer played by Tony Shalhoub, who uses Heisenberg's uncertainty principle as a legal defense. And then there's a car crash, which is filmed with such preening self-satisfaction that it crushes what we've been feeling for the characters. This is, of course, one of the Coens' great problems. Just when you want them to carry you into the heart of their story, they start giving you free samples of their brilliance. Absolute control freaks, they're so busy shaping every single image and sound that they lose touch with their deepest emotions and themes. This happens in film after film. But why? I've begun to wonder if the problem isn't that they're a team. They talk through everything so completely that no messy feelings can ever emerge. And messiness is the stuff of film noir. Or could the problem be that they're brothers, caught in some peculiar form of arrested adolescent giggling? Then again, maybe they're just shallow entertainers, leery of real emotion. Which isn't to say that this new film is as bloodless as, say, The Hudsucker Proxy. For Billy Bob Thornton, who here looks a bit like an exhumed Humphrey Bogart, plays Ed with a spectral gravity that keeps hinting at depths the movie itself never plumbs. Thornton is the very incarnation of an ordinary man's feeling of entrapment, and watching his odd blend of boredom, disdain, desire, and sadness, you find yourself feeling things that the Coen's glibness keeps distracting you from. What breathes life into the man who wasn't there is the actor who so emphatically is.
John Powers is executive editor of LA Weekly.